Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Hallelujah. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me. And answer me when you said, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes. Hallelujah. Psalm 27, we're going to look on the scriptures that the Jewish people, and we should be because it's his appointed times, are reading at this time, because we can hear what he's saying to us through some of these readings. I can't read them all, but I believe that I've got some here that will help us. And Psalm 27, they were reading every day in the Jewish month of Elul. That was August and September, so just last month and this month. And it's basically the days of Teshuvah. And Teshuvah mean repentance, for those who aren't aware. And it led up to Shabbat Shuvah, which was last weekend, and then Yom Kippur, this past Monday, before this joyful celebration at Sukkot. It's a time to search and look at our hearts and prepare our hearts. And I know when I was living in Israel, these times that the Jewish people observe are times for us also to apply to our lives. I think they're good. And the word teshuva better translates a returning. As we are assisting Jewish people to return to the land, to return to the God of their fathers, we can look at where we need to return. Is it a returning of our focus in greater awareness of the word of God, to focus again on his word and weighing up everything we see in light of his word? It's a returning of our heart to a closer relationship with our Father in heaven. We may have drawn away from him. Are you as close to the Lord as you have been in times past? Let's look at that and examine. A returning to the arms and path of our Messiah, Yeshua, and a returning of our souls to a deeper understanding of our calling and our purpose as beloved children of God. I just had the picture when I was preparing this. You know, sometimes I know when we're out looking at birds or other things, you have to refocus binoculars. Sometimes we need to have that refocus, don't we? That tuning our vision again to see clearly, to understand what he's doing and what he's saying in our lives. Also in September, the 18th and the 22nd, the reading was from Deuteronomy 32. And that reading is called Ha'atzinu. And that means give ear. So again, you can see God's preparation in the lead up to this weekend. give ear or incline your ear to me. Moses delivers this song in Deuteronomy 32 to the Israelites on the last day of his life. And it's a prophetic word, describes the future destiny of God's people. It reflects the truth that all history is the revelation and expression of God's love and care, which are constantly at work by his Spirit through his people. The song opens with the appointment of heaven and earth as witnesses and guarantors of God's everlasting covenant with Israel. So this it was, it says in Deuteronomy 32:1, give ear, and that word there in Hebrew is ha'atzinu, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear, and that is tishma in Hebrew, the words of my mouth. It's different how the Lord has used two different words there. So the Hebrew word ha'atzin, to incline one's ear, connotes a greater awareness and acceptance of the spoken word than the more commonly used shma. Shma is used 1,160 times in the Word of God. That's quite an important word. If he says hear that many times, I think we should be hearing, and he will incline our ears to hear. Using the word ha'atzin in connection with heaven and the word shma with earth, Moses is indicating that the covenant and its implementation is initiated by God from heaven, and those on earth function in a secondary capacity in its consummation, in its witness. So this is powerful. Whatever takes place on earth, according to God's will in heaven, begins with action initiated in heaven. And this concept underscores the importance of prayer. As an intercessory ministry, this is key to us. And we know this is what we wait for in our prayer groups. It's a powerful means of participating in the active momentum of the heavenly realm and its outworking on the earth. Prayer is exciting and it's powerful. And bless you, all those who pray. You know, we open our ears to God's word given from heaven, and he then inclines his ears to us as we offer our prayers in response. That is the way he moves and acts with us in prayer and fulfills his will. Hallelujah. So Sukkot and Tabernacles. So these are feasts of the feasts of Moedim of the Lord. And again, they focus our attention on what God has done in the past and what he's going to do in the future. They're symbols and pictures of what is to come as well, as we've been sharing. And Sukkot is one of those. Yom Kippur, Sukkot, the Feast of Trumpets, these four feasts have not been fulfilled yet in all their fullness. We know that the others have, so we're waiting with excitement. So Sukkot commemorates God's mighty deliverance of his people from Egypt and then their 40 years of wilderness wandering, where they dwelt in tabernacles, in shelters. So for the last 3,500 years, Jewish people have observed Sukkot, and they have constructed and lived in booths. You'll see a picture in a moment in a message that someone shares. And I remember all the fervent activity in the run-up to Sukkot in Jerusalem. You would get deliveries of branches along streets, especially in the Orthodox areas, for people to come and take to build the booths. And on the balconies, you'd suddenly see these leafy tabernacles going up. And in Mea Shearim and in the marketplaces, you know, the choosing of the branches, the myrtle branches, the willow branches. I'd never seen an ethrog. You know, I thought, my goodness, that's a big lemon. and they're there and they're observing very closely. And I'm trying to look, what's the difference between these? What are they looking for? So intently, they had to have the right one. But there is much anticipation of this joyous feast and festival. So it's branches, lulavs, joy, rejoicing, which is wonderful. So the readings that the Jewish people are reading in the synagogue today, I'm just going to read you some verses. It's Leviticus 22, and I'm starting here at Leviticus 22, verses 31 to 33. Keep my commands and follow them. I am the Lord. Do not profane my holy name, for I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am the Lord who made you holy and brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. So we see here that linking with that first Exodus. So it's an encouragement for us. He then goes on in Leviticus 23. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'These are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies.'" He then goes on to the Shabbat. So we also have first day Sukkot and Shabbat today. "There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Shabbat rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Shabbat to the Lord. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times." And this is we can enjoy and celebrate because they're his feasts. You know, he wants us. I remember when I first celebrated Sukkot in Jerusalem, the joy and the rejoicing. The Jewish people certainly know how to enjoy their God, and I had never experienced anything like it, and it made me jealous. And I think we have so much to learn to be able to rejoice and enjoy and feast and just be in his presence and enjoy it. It is joy to us. Then it goes on, the Festival of Tabernacles. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Festival of Tabernacles begins and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly, do no regular work.'" And then it's also a feast of ingathering in verse 39. "After you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of Shabbat rest, and the eighth day also is a day of Shabbat rest. On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters, so your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." That is the other thing about these times, that your children may know. And this has been passed down for generations. It works, you know, and we need to be teaching our children the joy and the celebration of these things. These children are having fun. They're going to have a lot of fun in the next session as well. I'll give you a glimpse of what they'll be doing. It is good that the children learn and understand and know. And I know that I learn scripture more when it's in song than I do in the written word, trying to memorize it. And that's how Jewish children learn the scriptures. They learn by song. And the prophets prophesied in song. So there's something about having the scripture in a melody, which is really beautiful. So Moses announced to the Israelites the appointed festivals of the Lord. And Sukkot, the first and last days, are Shabbats, and they symbolize or look towards the Shabbat rest of the kingdom to come. That's one thing. The Feast of Ingathering, it's the year's final harvest. This will be the final harvest in the kingdom. Sukkot, I believe, is a fulfillment with hearts full of praise and thanksgiving, as we are doing this weekend. Jewish men rejoice with palm, willow, and myrtle. They are symbolic of welcoming the king to his kingdom. You remember palm branches were waved when Jesus or Yeshua. For those of you that aren't familiar, Jesus is obviously the Greek name for Jesus. Yeshua is his Hebrew name. And Yeshua means salvation. So he entered Jerusalem before his death. And remember, they were waving palm branches, Hosanna, and welcoming him in the name of the Lord. John saw palm branches waved before the throne of God in heaven by the throng of the redeemed from all nations. And that's in Revelation 7, 9 and 10. And they sang, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." The worship so wonderfully shared that as well. Yeshua is our Lord's name for salvation. Willow grows near water, and that symbolizes, and it looks to another reading the Jewish people will be reading today, is Zechariah 14. Willem touched on Zechariah 13 last night and the beginning of 14 of those wars that will come. But then in verse 8 of Zechariah 14, it says, "On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it to the east to the Dead Sea, and half of it to the west to the Mediterranean Sea, in summer and in winter. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. Hallelujah. And on that day, there will be one Lord, and his name, the only name. Then the survivors, then we go on to verse 16. Willem shared this last night as well. Great, we're sort of the spirits moving. The survivors from all nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. So let's start celebrating and rejoicing now, because we're doing this for eternity. Hallelujah. So wells of salvation. So Yeshua was in Jerusalem at the time of the Feast of Sukkot, we know, and we're talking of the living water. So there are two characteristics of when there was a temple in Jerusalem, the two characteristics of the service in the temple for Sukkot was the brilliant illumination of the temple. Apparently, the temple, when it was illuminated, could be seen for miles around. Can you imagine seeing all those people rejoicing and streaming up to Jerusalem, to the temple, and it shining on the top of that mount? And so at this feast, this is where Yeshua healed the man born blind, and he declared, "I am the light of the world." John 9, verse 5. The Jewish people would have known what he was saying. He was fulfilling this feast. Then there's the pouring of the water in the temple. So a priest was sent down to the pool of Siloam with a golden pitcher. He would bring the water from the pool. He went back up to the temple. He poured it out on the altar. This again is symbolic because they're praying for rain. This is a feast. They start to pray for rain, for abundant rain. But it is, so it's symbolic of that, but it's prophetic, looking towards the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not only upon Israel, but all believers in his reign, in his kingdom reign. Hallelujah. And just for your encouragement, we heard just a couple of weeks ago from a dear brother, a golden pomegranate bell has been excavated at the pool of Siloam fairly recently from the garment of one of those priests. That's just amazing. You know, all the things they are finding are proving that God's word is true, and that's exciting. Isaiah 12 is another looking towards this living water. I'm just going to read, from Isaiah 12, 1 to 6. In that day you will say, "I will give thanks to you, Adonai, for though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation." It's Yeshua. "I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord Adonai is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, 'Give thanks to Adonai, proclaim his name, declare his works to the peoples, so they remember his exalted name. Sing to Adonai, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.'" Yeshua offered living water to the Samaritan woman, and this is in John 4, verse 10. Yeshua replied to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And in John 4, verse 14, he says, "Whoever drinks of the water I will give him shall never be thirsty. The water that I give him will become a fountain of water within him, springing up to eternal life." And then, so this is the set. Remember, this was the second symbol, the second characteristics at Sukkot. And Jesus, Yeshua, went into the temple and said, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Yeshua stood up and cried out loudly, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Yeshua is our light, our salvation, and we drink the living water from him. We receive that from him. He gives us an invitation. Let's ponder on this. This is the last scripture I'll use now. Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, or your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that your soul may live. Here again, listen, in, when it says listen diligently, could also be incline your ear, listen. Three times he's calling us to listen, to incline our ear, and to do that. So let's be hearing, continue to be hearing what he's saying as we go through this this conference. We've now got a lovely message from our international chairman, Mr. Philip Holmberg. So please receive his greetings and his encouragement.
Shalom, dear brothers and sisters in UK. My name is Philip Holmberg. I'm from Sweden, and it's a great pleasure for me, on behalf of myself and my wife Ulla and the International Board and the International Ministry, to greet you at your conference, the UK conference at Hailey. I believe this is an important time for you in the UK, and I think the timing of the conference is quite significant. You meet at the time when Sukkot starts in Israel and in many nations across the world. And you also meet at the 100th anniversary of the British mandate taking effect or coming into effect. So you will be aware that internationally also we have been praying with you in the UK over the years now for an apology to come forth to the Jewish people and to Israel. What could be a better time than now when the 100th anniversary of the British mandate? We are praying with you for this. And some of you will be aware that I came home recently after being on board the Lida, a Swedish sailing boat, sailing to Israel all the way from Sweden, across the North Sea and the English Channel, the Bay of Biscay, the Atlantic through the Straits of Gibraltar and across, right across the whole of the Mediterranean. I was there for 18 days from Sweden until Gibraltar. I had planned to stop at Lisbon, but then when the captain, Stefan, told me that I could, if I wanted, join also a couple of more days and get off at Gibraltar, I took that opportunity. I felt it was important to visit Gibraltar again. I was there together with Pete and Fiona Stucken in 2019 after the Malaga conference, and we were there praying. And I wanted to get back because I feel this is an important part of what the Lord wants to use in the coming days. It's this is the key to the Mediterranean, and any Aliyah by ship needs to pass through this place. So I believe that the UK has an important part to play as guardians of this Strait of Gibraltar. And may the Lord bless your nation and you in this. I'd like to also just say something about the theme of your conference. It says there in Revelation, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And we are called to be witnesses. Witnesses for the Lord, to proclaim his sovereignty, his greatness, and his majesty, but also to proclaim his word and his name. And this was so wonderful on board the Lida, to proclaim the word of God upon the sea. And one thing that especially also made me very happy was that there were such a number of English or British people on board. And I felt that this is important because Britain has been such an important seafaring nation for centuries. And I believe that you have an important part to play also in these end times. So may the Lord bless you during this conference and bring you into that place where he wants you to be. Have an ear to hear what the Spirit says. And we remember what Yeshua said to his disciples in Acts 1, that they should wait there in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they would receive power to be the witnesses of Yeshua in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, then on to the ends of the earth. And so I want to bless you to be witnesses to the Lord in regard of his plans for Aliyah, for the return of the Jewish people to Israel. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
So now, we've got so much to give thanks to the Lord for, and what I'm going to share now is some glimpses of what's been happening in the UK, in various areas. Thanks to you and to everyone else. I do give thanks to the Lord, and we can give thanks to the Lord. In Psalm 107, 1-3, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south." We're so thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness. He is our Ebenezer. He is our stone of help. And thus far, he has helped us. Recently, we were clearing the garage at Ebenezer House, and it's not just one, it's like the size of four garages. It's a big area, and we found some special things in there which we'll share with you later. Beverly and I were quite moved, actually, just looking back at the history and God's faithfulness. We're thankful for our trustees, we're thankful for our team, each and every one of you, and those who can't be with us. You know, we're so thankful. We're a good team as we move together, as we work together, as he calls us and we respond in the way that he's asked us to. That's right. Thanks for a slide. We've got a slide now. I don't know if you remember this. For me, this was a picture that gave me great hope for our nation. This was a picture that was taken just over a year ago when we lost our dear Queen. And I don't know if you remember, but rainbows appeared over London, over where she lived up there in Scotland, and then again just before she was buried, it appeared over Westminster. And to me, that was a sign of the Lord honouring a faithful woman of prayer. She was an amazing queen. But also it gave us hope for our nation, because there have been faithful ones like her and faithful ones who continue to pray. And so we are thankful for our strong prayer base throughout the UK. Those who pray on Zoom or back in person, but that commitment is prayer, is what undergirds. That's the foundation of everything that we do. And we're so thankful that even through COVID, you know, new groups were established on Zoom. Some went into churches and, you know, there was still growth and movement. And, you know, as we've said, prayer is exciting. So if you are new, and the Lord moves you to pray with us, please do get in contact with us, because we'll link you up with someone in your area and you can pray together. It's great when two or more are gathered in his name and you can pray, because there's power in that. We're so thankful. So we're looking at prayer, and we're so thankful that the Lord continues to move through us. We are praying in faith for that apology, as Philip mentioned, to come from the British government to the Jewish people and to Israel for our historical failures. That will be explained later in the prayer session why that is still so important. It's also been a special season of centenaries. I know through various things that I've heard and been present at, that there is a wonderful relationship between Israel and the UK right now. I believe James Cleverly was recently out in Israel, and from what I heard, his meetings with Benjamin Netanyahu were the warmest between any UK ambassador than there have been in a long time. So that was really positive. And also the deputy Israeli ambassador last year said this is a golden moment between the UK and Israel, because our relationship is so strong and so warm, that this could be the firm foundation from which an apology can come. So we will continue in prayer. also with prayer from the church. It was really good last year. We are a member of Love Never Fails. It's great to have Jacob here as well from CFI. And Jacob was instrumental in this, that the Christchurch Cathedral, Oxford, was used as a service of repentance for the synod of the synod that was passed in 1222, the 800th anniversary. So confession and repentance took place as a church for what they passed, because it was evil intent towards the Jewish people. And what was instigated allowed anti-Semitism to spread through Europe, which culminated in the expulsion of the Jews from the UK in 1290. And the church at that time, you know, confessed and repented of that. So that was a breakthrough. Thank you to all who were there. I know a number of you were there physically supporting that event, really involved. So thank you, because that was really key. Also, the British Mandate 100 meeting, which Love Never Fails also organised, that was in July last year, where we had invited members of Parliament and others to a meeting there, and we're really sharing and just clarifying the legal legitimacy of the present borders of the State of Israel as agreed at San Remo. So this is where we're going into government, we're meeting with church, or we're moving in those prayer areas as well. Also, we had a number of really important prayer actions in London, at the Tower of London, and so thank you to the team there. Those were some major prayer actions that we had last year in the heart of government, in the heart of our nation, especially as one happened following the accession of our new king and new prime minister. Do you remember? That happened quite in quick succession. So I think that was key, that we had that prayer action right in the heart of London at that time. Other prayer actions will be shared this afternoon in our prayer session. And we are so thankful too for our strong relationship with the Bible College of Wales. Our international board will be going there for another prayer advance end of November, beginning of December. We see that as key, because that's a spiritual well. Rhys Howell and Kingsley Priddy, that's where our mandate as well in intercession has come from, has been birthed. With international prayer actions, as Philip just mentioned, the Alida. Philip is now back on that Alida sailing, and it's on its way to Israel. It's slightly behind schedule, but we're praying it will arrive soon. It should arrive tomorrow, and that the Lord will have the perfect place for it to dock. That's our prayer. So here we see the team. Elizabeth Webb and Phil Lumley joined the Alida at Dover. It was planned to sail through to Cherbourg. We were going to meet with intercessors in Cherbourg to link France with UK. But obviously the Lord had other ideas, and it took a different course all along the south coast. So there's a reason, obviously, that the Lord wanted intercession all the way along our south coast, which is a blessing for us. And the group in the Isle of Wight went out onto the coastline and prayed as the ship went past. I think you can see, there you go, there's the diverted course on the scan there, where it should have gone and where it actually, you can see the Isle of Wight, where it did go. So nothing is a mistake with the Lord. His ways are higher than ours, as we know. Well done to all who've sailed on that. I know it's not been easy, overcoming seasickness and all sorts of things, but I believe it's been a real blessing. Speak to Phil and Elizabeth if you want to hear more. And then I think we've got some beautiful, yeah, look at that. Look at that, the coastline. That's just wonderful. Beautiful. Then we had the Shavuot outreach last year, which was wonderful. After so long of being, you know, separated and apart, that was a great time to reconnect, to re-establish relationships, and to reach out to new contacts. So the team went out into England, Wales, Ireland, Scotland, Northern Ireland as well. We went all over, and it was great for all those that we met with, all the things that we did. It was just a brilliant outreach, and I think it encouraged us all. I think it did. It just boosted us all up, and the Lord was good. And we had prayer actions and outreaches, and that bore much fruit. So thank you, Lord. Again, at an appointed time, Shavuot. Church outreach. So we have Big Church Day Out. Last year we went to Big Church Day Out, and there has 30,000 believers there at Big Church Day Out, and that's great for connecting with people that don't know anything about us or Israel. So I think CFI are there as well, so that's great. But you get many good conversations, and fruitful encounters there. So that's Big Church Day Out. We then had the Leaders Summit. That was the AOG Leaders Summit. It's just lovely. We received invitations to these summits. So Jonathan and I went to the AOG Leaders Summit. There were 1,700 ELIM leaders there. And so it was a full house and a full program. And we had good conversations. We met some pastors of churches where you are members. And that was great. They came up and said, and that strengthened relationships, you know, for us to be able to speak to them, for them to know a little bit more. And through that, I think there's been some really good, stronger developments. So we thank the Lord for that. Then earlier this year, Simon asked Elizabeth and I to do a TV interview with him on Revelation. So that went really well, and I just thank the Lord for that. We all enjoyed that, actually. So Simon said, you must come back. So watch this space. There could be another one soon. So that was a great. And we had really good feedback and positive responses from people, again, who don't know our ministry, but heard for the first time. This year was a real breakthrough with New Wine. We had never been accepted at New Wine. We had put in applications in the past, but John and Daphne, and as we prayed together, we sensed it was right to try this time. So thank you, John and Daphne, for all the work you did, for knocking on that door and for pushing, and it opened. It was great that CFI and Matos were also there. So that's other members of Love Never Fails. There were three of us there. And 17,000 attended that event over both weeks. So that was excellent, you know, to get some really good encounters, interesting conversations, speak to people that had not heard about Aliyah or God's plan for the Jewish people at that time. Also, we were invited to Limitless, and that was a first as well. And this is primarily for youth, 11 to 17s, and young adults, 17 to 13-year-olds. There's Lizzie, you know, speaking with someone there. So they have a packed program there of activities, sports, but it's really in depth. You know, they want to see young people enter a transforming relationship with the Lord and leave the event empowered and envisioned to serve the Lord. And so Lizzie had some good ideas. We had scriptures about Aliyah. What does God think of Israel? And the young people were able to pull out these scriptures, and she was really blessed as they read them. They didn't just take them. They read out these scriptures at the stand. They were proclaiming God's word, and then they could see in pictures how they were being fulfilled. So Limitless was really fruitful for us this year, and we will do that again next year. If anyone else senses that they could represent us at some of these events, please do get in touch with us, you know, because we want to enlarge the team, because the larger team we have, the more of these events that we can do, and they are bearing fruit, which is great. The Why Israel courses in Bible study groups and churches is continuing to bear fruit. That's wonderful, and we'll continue to do that. And we also have some of our supporters, our church representatives in their churches for Ebenezer. So if you sense the Lord putting that on your heart, come and speak to us. Obviously, we will have to chat with your pastor first. You can't just appoint yourself as a church rep without a pastor agreeing. But please do. These are just some of the areas where you can come on board. With our young adults, during lockdown, it was great. They asked Tom, would he do a Bible study on Acts? Tom went through Acts in 2 years. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. And the young adults, they loved it. It was just so good. And they're wanting more now, but wait for the next one. but that was great. So they had a really good in-depth Bible study there. They've shared fun times over feasts, culinary design, Cat's Kitchen, Cat's here, bless you, Cat, and other people doing these, you know, culinary creations, Haman Tashen, Haman's Ears, and all these sorts of things. Great fun online. And they also met in person this year over Shabbat and have got a prayer brunch coming up. So if you know young people who want to join a prayer brunch at Woodbury Down Church, there's some leaflets around, I know. So please encourage young people to join our group for that prayer brunch. That'll be great. We also had 12 UK volunteers served in Poland during the emergency last year, which was brilliant support that we gave that. And also volunteers have served at Haifa House and been a great blessing to the team there. So Aliyah, UK Aliyah. In 2022, we had 585 Jewish people made Aliyah from the UK. This year so far, January to August, 258, so we're 35% down, but that's not unusual. I've looked at the statistics, and as you can imagine, Russia and Ukraine far outnumber anywhere else. It's interesting, all the Western European nations have gone down this year. Eastern Europe is up, so it's obviously the Russian-Ukraine conflict is touching Eastern European nations and Jewish people are fleeing from there. Those are the numbers that are up. We know God has his times and waves for Alia, but at the moment we're saying, okay, we're continuing to pray for ours to move from the UK in God's timing. So at 75, Israel's population surpasses 10 million now. That's amazing. And 73.5% of those are Jewish. In 1948, Israel's population numbered 806,000. So that's a huge increase. So more than 3.3 million people have made Aliyah. Since then, about 1.5 million arrived as of 1990, obviously with the fall of the wall in 1989. So that just gives you a glimpse of how Israel is flourishing and growing. So we're really thankful for our good relationships with the Jewish Agency. We've got a new head there at the Jewish Agency, but continues to be very warm with Rod and Jeff and I. We've got really good relationships with them, even with the new team. So thank you for your prayers, because we never underestimate that. There will be an Aliyah Expo in person this year, the first time in a few years, and we'll let you know more later. We're finding out the details of that soon. Also, I know some of you have been praying about NALE from the UK. And again, I had an invitation earlier this year to meet with the head of NALE. And I asked them, why do NALE and Jewish Agency not really work together here in the UK? And there's some reasons. But thankfully, we now have opened a conversation with NALE. And she said, at the moment, all you can do is let our people know. So let them know about NALE. So that's the educational program for people up to sort of 16. Because I think the education is good in UK, there's not so much take up from here, but it's still a great program. So we're thankful for our Aliyah response team. That's Rod, Jeff, Tom and I. We've got Mark, who's our transport coordinator for London and South East. We also have training videos and various booklets for those who are interested in driving. So please get in touch with us. We've got an Aliyah assistance register. Over 160 people signed up to help in various ways. If you're not on there and you feel the Lord speaking to you, sign up, because we're wanting to strengthen those teams. We will have a new role, and we'll communicate it to you, an Aliyah Assistance Coordinator, and that will be in different regions. So we will make that known to you soon. One way that we've helped international Aliyah, physically this is really sort of on board, we received a request from an ole in New Zealand to locate and provide proof of where his Jewish grandparents were buried in London. And we thought, oy vey, that's like trying to find a needle in a haystack. That's no small challenge. Oh, sorry, that's a lovely family. Sorry, that first one there. That's a lovely family, Yossi and his family, that we helped to make Aliyah. So that's a dear family that made Aliyah last year, just to show you that one. I missed that one, excuse me. But yeah, the international help. But the London team found the gravestone. Can you believe that? Praise the Lord. And Anne, our national coordinator in New Zealand, said, praise the Lord for his amazing help from your team. They are the family are delighted, and they can now find their true home in Israel. So we can help across the miles. And obviously, we help financially and practically in different ways with the international Aliyah. We've got Garen Zabar. Tom was able to go and share with them, which is great. This year we helped one Garen with suitcases and also to transport to the airport. They received thousands of applications for the program, but the successful ones this year, there were 14 from various countries, 5 England, Holland, France, Italy, Romania, Poland, Spain, Germany. They were all supported by our team in the UK, and everyone counts. So 120 soldiers received high honour. And 4 of those last year were from Garin. That's this group. And 1 from the UK. Hallelujah. So we're helping these young Calebs and Joshua to claim their land. It's hallelujah. It's really good. Also, we've got Youth Aliyah. And they've sent us a PowerPoint. We'll just have a quick look through. It's self-explanatory. This is a wonderful relationship that goes back many years. It's their 90th anniversary. They were founded in 1933 for at-risk children around the world. And we had John and Mary Wartnaby established a relationship. They were from Bournemouth, dentist and physio. They would volunteer their time for the children on these villages, and we continue that relationship. And they've sent you, that's basically, they've taken many Ukrainian refugee children. We are helping with their Hebrew. And they were receiving children from war-torn Europe, and now they're receiving them from other areas that need our help. So there we go, you can read. That's their message and thanks to us. Amazing size of that beetroot. Jonathan and I have picked some of the vegetables and fruit on those villages, and it's amazing what God's doing. Praise the Lord. There you go. That's there. Thank you. Now, lastly for me, because we've got some other... We just want to show you a little glimpse of children resources that we're working on now. So the children in the next session, one of the things... I don't know if it's this session or next. So just give you a sample of one of the things that we've developed for children. We've got a little video.
God made a promise close to his heart. He chose the Jewish people and set them apart. He made them
an update from Johannes Bartel, our regional coordinator on international update. Thank you.
Proverbs from Sefer Mishlei, Kne Chochma, Kne Bina, Al Tishkach, Ve'al Tet Mimrei Pi, Al Tazvea, Ve'tishmerecha, Ahava, Ve'titzrecha. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will guard you. So may the Hebrew language, the new beginnings in Israel, be a force to bring our students here closer to their purpose, closer to their land, and to their God. And thank you so much, Ebenezer, for your support.
My dear Ebenezer friends in the UK, I greet you from Germany, and I really want to thank you for your commitment to our international work. I hope you're all doing well, and I would like to encourage you with a video clip you have just seen. It's a verse from Proverbs chapter 4, and we have recorded this clip in Ashkelon, in an absorption center where Ebenezer helped to renovate Ulpan classes. I think it is so important that we not only help Jewish people to come home, but we help in the absorption process. And hundreds of New Olim will benefit from what we have invested in this center and also in another center in Ashdod, where a special project was realized, and Ebenezer, with a special donation, could finance 4 apartments for Holocaust survivors. Here you see this elderly couple coming from Belarus, and it is the first time in Israel that they now have an own apartment. Before, they always had to live with family members. The husband was born in 1944, fleeing from the Nazis, his family fleeing, and many of the family died, and miraculously he survived. And today, that we can bless him and see them in this apartment, it is a real sign of our support for Israel, for the Olim, and especially it's a privilege to bless Holocaust survivors. I want to thank you very much for continuous support for the situation with the war in Ukraine. I think we still have to continue to do special operations under special circumstances. And we should always be faithful to our team, especially to the ones who cannot leave the country. Some of the team members, they did not more have the strength to stay. And of course, family is important, and they decided to leave with their family Ukraine, and we had to find new drivers. We are thankful for Dennis, a 34-year-old man from a church in Poltava, who is now with Janja. But it shows us we have to constantly pray for them. And we should not in any way condemn or judge the ones who leave the country, because how would we react? We don't know. We should support the ones who stay. We should support also Kashik and Kate, who stay in Poland. And at the moment, we are praying to find an apartment in Warsaw because the Jewish agency has asked us to please continue helping the Olim. We know the war is over 1.5 years, but the situation is not over, and we need a constant extra support. And in general, of course, we see the land of the north, the Aliyah, is increasing like back in the 1990s. And our prayers are so important. We see already how difficult it is to work in certain countries, and there are operations I can't even share with you in public, because people get more and more pressure from government authorities, and we have to be very careful what to share. But I think you're all aware of the situation, and thanks also for your faithful prayers and support, and also practical support for sending volunteers, for helping where it's possible. And until now, we continue with the projects in Israel, in the Haifa House, where we see people helping with renovations, we see volunteers helping the Olim, and also thank you very much for your support for our work in Israel. Last August, we had a group of young people all together. We were 16 people from 8 nations in Poland and in Ukraine. We did teach them about Jewish history, and we started in Auschwitz. And but a highlight was when we could cross into Ukraine. And for many in the team, it was the first time really visiting Jewish families in need. And we could buy food parcels. We could bring a lot of suitcases filled with shoes and clothes, and really show the many Olim in Ukraine who cannot leave or for whatever reason still stay in Ukraine. We are with them, and we are supporting them and encouraging them. So thanks a lot also for sending some young people from UK being part of this group. I would like also to encourage you to join us next year in November in Jerusalem at our international conference. I've just been at the hotel, the Ramada Hotel, which is very much at the entrance into Jerusalem. They're expecting us, and I'm very much looking forward that we can meet again in person and have time together. There are many projects which you read sometimes in our bulletin, some testimonies. There are more and more emergency projects coming up, and we see that intercession is so important for us, because our ministry started out of prayer, and it is alive because of God's grace with us, of God's mercy, of God's provision. But we have always to seek His presence and His will and His guidance. So thanks a lot for your faithful support in prayer, your practical help, and your donations, which really make a difference and which impact thousands of Olim every year. May God bless you. May God bless the UK. And looking forward to meet many of you soon.
From Her Excellency, the Israeli Ambassador, Zippy Hotovely. Bless you all and thank you.
To everyone at this year's National Conference of Ebenezer Operation Exodus. I'm sorry that I cannot be with you in person. This year, we celebrate the remarkable 75th anniversary of the State of Israel. Since our independence in 1948, Israel has warmly welcomed Jews from across the globe. Aliyah has played a major role in the establishment of the Jewish state, and continues to form an important part of the character and identity of our nation. We live in time when the prophet's vision of Jews returning to our homeland is being realized. Ebenezer Operation Exodus has, for a number of decades, played a vital role in that mission, making Aliyah possible for so many Jews. You have helped to fulfill the dreams that so many of our Jewish ancestors could have only imagined. Whether it's been helping to obtain papers, practical help, or financial help, which I know is particularly appreciated by those coming from war-torn nations or for those who are coming from large families. On behalf of the State of Israel, I want to thank you all, our Christian friends, for your incredible support. We are grateful that you seek the best for Israel. I hope you have an enjoyable and enlightening conference, and I send my very best wishes for the future. Thank you.